This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday. That means it's time for the Wrestling Monday Night Raw After Show, and have we got a show for you. And guess what? It's only 2 hours, nice and condensed, streamlined, as they'd say. Before we get started, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by NWO, Jimmy Corderas, and Justin LaBarre. How you guys doing? Justin, how's your fantasy football team doing this week? As I look for our background that's supposed to be up, how's your fantasy football team doing?
Fantasy football is doing great this weekend for me, so a big win there. More importantly, a big win 4 in a row for the Washington Commanders, so that's nice and big. All that said, I'm really thrown off here at this time. I feel like I should be having like lunch with you fellows. It's so early in, in the proceedings. This is. I don't know, but I'm here for it. Here, I got you. There you go.
Oh, there we go. I started from the bottom and yep. I went up, and it was literally the one like right here at the top. There it is. Yeah, I am super pumped about this 2 hour Raw. You know, my fantasy football team won, but I don't know how you guys feel about this. I beat the team that is the guy who never updates his lineup, and he had like two injured players. And you're excited, like, I'm gonna win, but then. It also, you know, no risk it, no biscuit.
Boo that man. No, my fantasy team won, and I had Kirk Cousins on the bench this week. That's how good my team was this week.
Oh, Kirk Cousins, you know, he's one of those guys, though, like, you'll start him next week, and then he'll just break your heart.
Same. I'm not going to start him next week. I'm not convinced he's going to do 42 fantasy points again. I'm going to stick with CJ Stroud. But, yeah, it's okay. We're rolling good over here.
Yeah, I had a Derek Carr. He broke my heart early in the season, with his hot start. And then I was like, okay, I'll start him. Shouldn't have started him. But Jimmy, rocking the NWO gear, Nick Patrick style. How you doing, Jimmy?
For life, brother. I'm doing good, man. I'm digging through the basement and finding these little tidbits all over the place. I got some. So I found a whole thing full of hats, and I was like, this is cool. Some old WrestleMania hats, some vintage stuff, like the old Raw's War hat from the old WWF days, stuff like that. And, you know, my wife is like, oh, you can sell that stuff for big money. And I'm like, I don't want to get rid of it, though.
It is so tough to get rid of that kind of stuff. Like, I know logically, like, because we all have that kind of stuff where, like, this isn't worth anything. But at the same time, like, I can't get rid of it. This is my stuff.
It's my little friendship bracelet. I can't get rid of it.
You should do like an entire video blog of just like going through stuff and like just make different videos out of it. You know, like,
oh, that'd be interesting.
Actually, that'd be a great little kind of ref and rant style, quick little videos of different things you have. That'd be cool.
Years ago, I was at Mark Madden's house, and Mark was a WCW. He worked for WCW in the hotline. He was an announcer towards the end of the days, and we're going through his garage to go into the house, and like he had like just stuff like. He had like old Nitro rundown formats and just all this like random stuff. I was like, dude, this could be like a fun video series. Same thing I kind of just pitched to Jimmy. I'm like, just like going through, telling stories, letting people, I mean, you don't got to part ways with it if you don't want, but just letting people see up close of like, you know, statute of limitations are lifted now. I mean, all that, you know, the kayfabe can be dropped of whatever might've been on those rundowns then. So, you know.
Yeah. I even have old calendars, you know, with our schedules on it with where, what towns and all the stuff, you know, raw guys here, SmackDown guys here, the whole bit, and finding all that kind of stuff.
I think that'd be fascinating. Yeah. Little videos of, you know, just, oh yeah, here's like that, like just talking about the calendar and like, oh yeah, this was the trip we did in whatever year. That'd be fascinating. If you, in the chat, if you want to see more of Jimmy's knickknacks and whatnot, let him know if he should start a new video series. We're going to take up all of your free time. Jimmy, you think you're retired, but no, you're going to be busier than ever with the videos and your radio shows and everything else.
I feel like Al Pacino from Godfather. Every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in.
Well, we have, speaking of getting pulled back in, you reviewed Bad Blood this past week and on Saturday. What a show that was. We're also going to be covering AEW's Wrestle Dream on Saturday. So if you like watching the PLE after shows, check out Wrestle Dream's after show right here on Wrestling Inc. But for now, talking about Bad Blood, Justin, did you get a chance to see it? And what were your thoughts?
Of course, I watched it. It was a very, very good show. I gave it a B+. I thought that the start of it was tremendous. I thought the end of it was tremendous. There was a little lull in the middle. You know, I'm a big fan of Rhea. As we all know, I'm a big fan of Rhea, Liv, Don, that whole storyline. The execution of that match was a little weird and the ending and inconsistent with it on a lot of levels. So that kind of, you know, that kind of messed with me a little bit. But overall, very good show. I'm a big fan of the tight, you know, five matches. Then we got an additional segment with Triple H, Gunther, and Goldberg. So big fan of how they do that. Of course, I love the earlier start time as well. That was great.
I am such a fan of five match shows. I love it. I love that it's five matches too, not just the amount of time. I like knowing that it's going to be five matches. I love the structure of it. It just makes it very easy to watch. I know where we're at in the show at all times. I think that WWE has just done something very special in making these B shows so enjoyable or must watch, or it gives you a hook that you need to be there for. And they do it every single time. It used to just be, even at the beginning when it was like, oh, well, this one's in Puerto Rico, this one's in France, so that's why it's big. But no, they're all big. Even Atlanta gets to have a big show. Even you, Atlanta.
You well, and I don't even think we want to, I mean, like, I know what you mean. We used to refer to anything that wasn't, you know, of the big four, it was secondary and it was B level. But I mean, considering the business that they're touting that they're doing, even though that doesn't affect any of us, but the money that they're drawing with that, plus how good these are coming up. I mean, God, look, the freaking Rock showed up. That ain't a B show. If the Rock shows up, advertised or not, it ain't a B show. So they've done a great job of now making every single PLE matter. And, you know, look, to their credit, and I know we'll get to it, but I'll just kind of tease to it. You know, they've done all these things with all the international travel. And then even when they're domestic here for, you know, Atlanta for Bad Blood, you know, the one thing of the PLE that's still kind of like, is the obligations that we know they have to go to Saudi Arabia, you know, once or twice a year. Mm-hmm. And those for so many years were like, okay, which part-time are they going to pull out here? It was very much a detour from creative. It was like, it a lot of times it didn't sync up with creative. It was just this thing. It was in the way that they had to do. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm kind of in favor, at least I'm going to give it a chance, this whole idea of putting a once a year title around Crown Jewel, of where you're going to fantasy book and do something they don't otherwise do anyways, which is your top world champion versus your other top world champion. You know, because I mean, that's kind of a little bit of fantasy booking. They don't do it anywhere else in the year because it would screw up their creative plans with the fact that they have brand separation. But now this at least gives that PLE in Saudi Arabia some identity, and it's an identity that can allow them to avoid, hey, we got which wrestler can we call and try to come out of semi-retirement? You know what I mean? Not to say we won't see a Goldberg or a Gunther at a PLE in a Saudi Arabia in some time, but by and large, I appreciate the attempt of what they're trying to do here. I know we'll talk more about it, but they've done a great job with these PLEs now. Everything's must-see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we definitely are going to talk about that a little bit. And Jimmy, I know you talked about it, so I do want your quick thoughts, but I got to say, I loved Goldberg in this. I am not shy about saying I am a Bill Goldberg fan. And so I love seeing, as my good friend James Kincaid calls him, box office Bill showing up there. And what I love about it is the potential to have Goldberg versus Gunther down the road. I love it. I love the idea of that. I love the box office of it, the way it looks. But the biggest thing I like about it, and Jimmy, you can talk about this too, is Goldberg says that he was promised a retirement match. Mm-hmm. I don't know what was going on when he agreed to do this stuff, but he seems pretty adamant. He agreed he was given a, going to get a retirement match. What didn't happen? I think it'd be very easy for WWE today to say, look, that was the previous regime. Right. Sorry, pal, we're over it. But if they do give him this match, do give him a retirement match, it is making good on a promise. And I think that just says a lot to any other wrestler who they say, listen, trust us, we'll take care of you. I think it says, look, they are trying to take care of wrestlers if it happens. Now it isn't book. I'm projecting, I'm fantasy booking. I want to see my guy wrestle one more time. But any just quick thoughts on Bad Blood and thoughts on anything Justin and I just said?
No, again, it was a solid pay-per-view overall. I thought the matches were all delivered, and some had some, like you said, Justin, some wonky spots, especially. You know, I'm apparently the referee police, so I have to call out certain egregious stuff that I see, especially with the refereeing. But other than that, I thought it delivered, like all the pay-per-views or all the PLEs have been delivering. And as far as the Goldberg spot, I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the spot. When Gunther came out and said, you know what, when I said that Bret Hart was my second favorite, you were my favorite, I lied. That was just gold. And then when he insulted the family, I hope you're a better wrestler than you are a father or something like that, whatever the verbiage was. I liked it. I don't know if I want to see a match between them two particularly, because Gunther's style, I don't know if it'll fit well with Goldberg at this stage in his career. I don't know if he can handle that style. I mean, one of those Gunther chops may...
one way to find out, kid.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So, but it is interesting, and I get Justin's point too. It gives the PLEs over in Saudi Arabia an identity of its own. I wonder if they're going to continue with the King of the Ring having it over there as well, King and Queen of the Ring. So that's going to be interesting. Or is that going to be maybe the one show and have the title?
I would think they'd stick with the King or Queen of the Ring, because that's better suited and at least ties right into SummerSlam, number one contender. And it replaced what I think Triple H has probably agreed is not a great gimmick to keep on, which is the greatest Royal Rumble of all time, where we do, what, 50 people? So I think, you know, again, trying to give these Saudi shows some identity, King and Queen of the Ring, and then a crown jewel. I think that's keep it there.
Mm-hmm. We got some news here. We're going to come back to talking a bit about some of the stuff that went on at Bad Blood that will lead to what's going to go on at Crown Jewel. But before that, Nick has a super chat. Barely got it in time before I transitioned in there, Nick. Super chat says, Goldberg cost Gunther the match in Saudi, so that checks that Saudi appearance box. Then the two of them at Saturday Night's main event, since it's on cable.
If they do it, wherever they do it, if they truly did a Gunther versus Goldberg, and this was Goldberg's, you know, one final match that he's promised, and he can tell his family, tell his fans, this is my last one. It, as long as Goldberg's under the understanding, hey, you're going to go in there and you're going to lose. And not only are you going to lose, but kind of like what Jimmy said, I don't think Goldberg was never great at doing matches longer than 10 minutes in the first place, just based upon his style and his appeal. And I don't think he can go longer than 10 with Gunther, and it's going to look real great. And so basically you need to have him versus Gunther be somewhat kind of like what him versus Brock was when Goldberg first came back. It needs to be hard hitting, very explosive, less than 10 minutes, closer to the 5 minute mark. But in doing that, Goldberg's got to recognize he's going to be looking up at the stars or passing out in a Gunther sleeper. Cause Triple H is not going to have Goldberg come in non-title or not. He's not going to have Goldberg come in and beat Gunther on this one-off. Plus, if it is truly Goldberg's last match, again, Triple H, Booker, old school. You go out looking at the lights. You go out doing the job. You go out putting over the next generation.
On your shield.
Right. Yeah, if they brought Goldberg back because Goldberg wants to win his last matches, and if they did it, it would be against someone who's not a very big...
Didn't he get that against Dolph Ziggler?
He did get that against Dolph Ziggler.
Poor Nick had to go out there and do that. I mean, come on.
Multiple spears. Man, by the way, Ziggler, he might be the best at taking a spear. Sorry, Nick, but I kind of don't blame him for having you get speared a bunch of times. It looked amazing.
But if there's, if there's one other place that you might want to try it as opposed to Saturday Night's Main Event is maybe the debut on Netflix. It's going to be a star-studded one anyways. If you're going to try something like that, maybe that would be the place to do it.
Possibly. Like, I just, I'd want to see it. I agree with Justin. I don't think it should be like a Iron Man match. I want it to be two freight trains running into each other, and I want Goldberg to get chopped a bunch.
That would be an iron skillet match getting chopped like that.
I got some news here about AJ Styles and apparently an injury. Initially, there was some speculation whether or not AJ Styles had actually been injured. And during the match, there was a whole series of events that was thought to be a work, and that Styles was fine, though that has now been thrown into question. This is the match with Carmelo Hayes on SmackDown. On the latest Wrestling Observer Radio, both Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer gave the impression that Styles' ankle injury was not part of an angle and that it was legitimate, though neither was able to provide a confirmed update on this condition. This morning, Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful, who had initially reported that Styles' injury was an angle, chimed in with some new information revealing that those in WWE had said Styles' selling of the knee during his match was a work, but that a move where he landed on his knee was legitimate. He further said that the word internally in WWE was that Styles was injured. Like Meltzer and Alvarez, however, Sapp was unable to provide confirmation on Styles' status. Jimmy, it sounds like it's just a very unlucky case of the story and reality possibly coming together.
Well, it's the unfortunate thing. It is a legit injury to AJ Styles. I have been told that, so I can't reveal my sources, of course, but I've heard that it's a legitimate injury. And if you look back at the video, there's no way that you can work that. His leg twisted in a way that I cringed. Mm-hmm. And you can tell right away that was legit. And there's another thing that was a tall tale sign for me too, is when the WWE does backstage shots of somebody who is injured and a trainer or a doctor is looking at him, they don't use your actual doctors and trainers in those shots. They use extras. Mm-hmm. The doctor in that shot was the doctor. And when he was walking out on the crutches, that was the trainer. You know, those are their people. So that for me told me, okay, this is real. This is legit. And again, it's unfortunate timing for him coming back after much fanfare for his return. I don't know what was planned for him. Putting him in with Carmelo Hayes was definitely a plus for Carmelo.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that was going to lead to, because obviously it looks like he's going to be heading back to match number 7 with Andrade, which I'm looking forward to, mm-hmm. which should be really good. But again, back to AJ Styles. This is unfortunate, especially this late in his career, because it's tougher to come back from injuries that, you know, when you're north of 40.
Yeah, and it's with these kind of injuries too, you always wonder how many more times do we get to see someone, especially like an AJ Styles. Hopefully this is a minor injury, Justin, but yeah, very unfortunate timing. Injuries are always unfortunate, but especially after coming back after being gone for a while and coming back after another injury fairly recently. So just very unfortunate for AJ Styles.
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, as you said, just coming back after being sidelined. And yeah, when you are at this stage of your career where even in as phenomenal, pun intended, shape that he appears to be in, you know that you have fewer matches. Yeah, you're much closer to the finish line than you are the starting line. You know, yeah, I mean, if you see the video doesn't lie, if you watch it, and not to be like all like, you know, smarty pants, but like AJ Styles is a good seller, and like you can sell well in wrestling and sell the body parts, sell whatever's going on in the match and sell, but sometimes there's injuries that, like Jimmy said, you cringe when you see them. There's movements, I should say, that you cringe when you see the movements. Sometimes there's injuries and pain that occurs that just human nature, your selling of that legit pain is different than maybe the selling of a worked angle, if that makes sense. So sometimes there's just pain and awkwardness that's just, you can just tell. If you've watched enough pro wrestling, you can just tell and be like, you know, I've seen AJ Styles sell when he's selling the work. This just looks different, and it just looked different, and it looked painful. And to Jimmy's point, if you then go deeper dive on, you know, who the doctors and trainers are versus who's, you know, who's some indie talent they put a medical polo on, you know, that just kind of tells you some little tidbits.
I want to get a WWE medical polo. That's the merch I want them to be selling on WWE.com. But we had a brawl backstage at Bad Blood, not even backstage, out in the parking lot, I guess. Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes got into a bit of a disagreement. They got into a fight, all caught on fan cam, on cell phones. Triple H said on Twitter, "We are aware of the incident outside of the arena last night. Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens, the matter will be dealt with internally." On Twitter, though, Wrestling Observer Radio provided no explanation for why the angle was done off screen. Meltzer suggested it was inspired by a parking lot brawl Cody Rhodes' dad, Dusty Rhodes, and rival Ole Anderson had back in 1979. He also believes the angle was done this way in a way to prevent Owens from being cheered and Rhodes from being booed, creating a situation where fans would turn on Rhodes ahead of his upcoming program with The Rock. Justin, 2 points here. One, I loved this. I think this is so cool. This is awesome. I love the way they're treating it like it's very real. But two, no one's going to boo Cody. I think that's just malarkey. I think any fear of Cody getting booed is crazy.
Well, I mean, I can understand always being conscious of it. I mean, you know, there have been few baby faces in WWE's time that didn't at some point get booed at some point, whether it was by design of the booking or whether it was just the crowd was just starting to turn and starting to shift. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much I believe of Meltzer's, if he's just giving his opinion or if he's hearing something, but I think bottom line, it's what's old is new again. And it's amazing when you take some things, something, you know, like you referenced in 1979, well, you know, when you can call back to things like that, it comes off new and fresh because it hasn't been done. And I love the fact that they're, you know, there's two different fan angles that I've seen, two different fan cell phones that caught this brawl that happened. And in neither one do I see any WWE camera, any WWE grip holding a light, any WWE sound person holding the boom mic. Like, they legit did this. It's so it seems, unless they had some kind of a safety cam shooting from far away, just in case, God forbid, we found the 100 people that don't have a cell phone out in Atlanta, if that even exists. I love the fact that they are like literally relying on, you know what? Fans wait outside of these arenas. They all wait out. They all have their phones because they want to get a picture. They want to get a selfie. What if we just started having the two guys in, you know, still in gear, so that way you still know it's them. You're not, you know, you don't put them in street clothes where you're maybe unsure. Is that Kevin Owens? Is that a stagehand? Like, whatever. No, in gear. I think it was right near Cody's bus, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Like, just great little touch of like, let the fans be the one that tell the story, and it makes it that much cooler. It makes it, all of a sudden, it was going viral and everywhere late Saturday night, and then yeah, the follow up. Don't speak about it because it wasn't sanctioned. It wasn't part of the show. WWE cameras weren't there. We're not talking about it on Raw. It's not part of the show. Kevin Owens went off script. He had a PLE match against Cody a few months ago. That's not the storyline right now. Cody or KO's gone rogue. I love the questions that it drums up. The timing is interesting because, you know, Cody's partnering with Roman right now, and we got Survivor Series. You know, Cody's got Gunther coming at Crown Jewel, Survivor Series after that. The Rock's back, you know, him and The Rock on Unfinished Business. So it is interesting timing that a few months after he was willing just to hand Kevin Owens, babyface Kevin Owens, a title shot, and Kevin Owens, oh, shucks, I really don't deserve it. It's interesting timing they decide to do the heel turn now and what it all means, but I'm here for it, and I appreciate the creativity.
Yeah, Leonard Jones in the chat asked the question, surely they were staff members using cell phones.
Nope. Not that's not a guarantee, Leonard. That is not a guarantee. Yeah.
And, you know, and I was going to say, and Jimmy, I want your thoughts on this as well. Even if it was, I mean, it still feels great. Even if we knew that they were employees of WWE who posted those, and I'm not even sure it was, it's still cool. It still feels very real. This is exactly what you're looking for, and it's so simple. And I want to also add, and Jimmy, get your thoughts on this, is the way Kevin Owens didn't fight like he was in a wrestling match. He was punching and kicking like he was in a real fight. And even Cody Rhodes, the way he was kind of like covering his head and stuff, was very real fight. It wasn't like he wasn't like hulking up and fighting out of it. You know what I mean?
Right. No, it looked real from everything, from the camera shot. Like you said, even if it was a WWE personnel shooting it with their cell phone, it looked like a cell phone shot. So what? It came off looking great. It came off looking authentic. It came off looking, like you said, like a real fight. Everybody in the bar getting tipsy and just going at it. You know what I mean? I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the way it looked. And the other thing, too, is we didn't understand who was the provocator in this one. It seems like it was Kevin Owens, but without the volume, like we saw in the infamous security camera footage backstage, without the context of the conversation that was going on, we don't know who the real instigator was. I know a lot of people saying, well, Kevin Owens turned rogue. What did Cody say to him to set him off like that? We don't know.
Right.
Those are other little questions that are in play here. Also, there's a wild card here in Randy Orton. Everybody's forgotten about him because he's almost like the middleman in this thing. Where is he going to fall into this thing? So there's a lot of questions there, and there's a lot of avenues they can take, and I think it's very interesting to see where this is going to go.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Yeah, lots of big stuff happening. WWE knocking out of the park and knocking out of the park with 2 hour Raws. And we're about to talk about it. But first, as always, I want to give a shout out to everyone who is watching, whether you are on YouTube or Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Like, comment, share, subscribe. 5-star review. I want to give a shout out. We had a 5-star review with a nice little message last week. I read on Wednesday, and the person who wrote it had mentioned that they operate a pro wrestling company. And so I reached out to him. I said, hey, which company do you work for? I want to give you a shout out for the kind 5-star review. And that is Buzzsaw Championship Wrestling in Oklahoma and Texas. So if you find yourself in Oklahoma and Texas, go ahead and check out Buzzsaw Championship Wrestling. Big fans of the show, so I'm glad you guys reached out, and hopefully you get some eyeballs over there. Also, the lurkers hanging out, not saying anything in the chat, that's okay. But also the people who are chatting, like Daniel Berry, Jay Young, and Made by Dawn showing up, Jeff Bailey, and Goodfella. Lots of folks here. Appreciate you all. I did see a question from Baby Ice. Jimmy asks, does Jimmy know where Perry Saturn's mop went?
Oh, it's in Jimmy's basement.
Hey, kayfabe, brother. I'm not talking. It may be lurking somewhere in my basement. You never know.
I feel like everything is somewhere in Jimmy.
I even have Duke the Dumpster's, what do you call it? Trash bin.
Dumpster.
Yeah. out back. That's where I put my leaves when I clean up. The plumber. What the heck's his name again?
T.L. Hopper.
T.L. Hopper. I have his plunger. I use that frequently. But anyways, that's neither here nor there.
T.L. Hopper.
Well, Troy in the chat saying Triple J is a 5-star panel. Thank you, Troy, for the kind words. Let's talk about this week's WWE Raw. I cannot gush enough about how much I love the 2-hour Raw. I feel like it went fast. I feel like everything was exciting. Do feel like the commercials were a little out of hand. I don't think they cut any commercial time. They kept the same number of commercials, but we started the show off with Sexy Red kicking things off for a minute. And Jimmy, I got to know, what's your favorite Sexy Red song?
Sorry.
It's nice playlist. I know she has a song called Pound Town. That's fun.
Yeah. Jimmy, are you a big fan of Sexy Red's Pound Town? Is that on the workout playlist?
Did you have to go to me with this question? Man, sorry, not my wheelhouse.
You're telling me that when you're sitting there sipping coffee, getting ready to do a ref and rant, no Sexy Red's on in the background?
You don't have Sexy Red on?
Unfortunately, no. Mm. No. You know me, I'm stuck in the 70s, guys, man. I got some Jimmy Buffet playing in the background and all that sort of stuff.
Well, it was kind of an awkward start. I'll be honest. We won't spend time talking about it. It was kind of weird. It's like, hey, I'm Sexy Red. And then they cut to a video package. It almost felt like we weren't supposed to see her. It was kind of weird. But let's start with the main event. I feel like this is clearly the big talking point. Sami Zayn versus Gunther, World Heavyweight Championship, high-octane slugfest with Gunther retaining. Post-match, Cody and Gunther stared down. Justin, we talked a little bit about their matchup coming up at Crown Jewel, but I want your thoughts on the match. But I've got to say, I cover the AEW show, and something we hear on AEW all the time is that AEW's got all these championships. They've got the Owen, which is a championship that doesn't really count for anything. They have the FTW title, which isn't even a real title. But here I'm watching Bad Blood, and I'm seeing that we're gonna have the Saudi Arabia Crown Jewel Championship, very Owen-like, and we also have the Brahma Bowl Championships, very FTW-like, and I don't know, just feels like it feels like there's some things that we complained about, Nate. I mean, also there's a fight backstage that they weren't supposed to show us on air. Feels like there's some things we complained about in AEW that are happening on WWE.
Well, first off, that fight backstage we weren't supposed to see. Something tells me they'll make some money off of it somewhere down the line. same can't be said for AEW security footage. No, I know what you mean. First off, I'm the Rock's. Here's the difference. Here's where I will draw a line of difference, and I'm not as irked by it with right now with WWE. And maybe this will change, but as it stands now, I'm not as irked by it for a few reasons. Number one, The Rock having his title that he was gifted, the people's title he was gifted by Muhammad Ali's widow. It's just an accessory that he's holding. It's just a prop. It's part of his gear. Okay, if he starts putting it on the line and matches. Yeah. With regularity, the way the FTW title was. Okay. And oh, by the way, sorry, no disrespect, Taz. You're an ECW legend, but there's a difference between Taz having an unsanctioned title and passing it to his kid versus arguably the largest, most recognizable star in the world. But I think the Rocks will just remain part of his attire. And that's not to say that it won't be a prop in a match at one point where Cody takes it and starts to whip him with it. That's not to say that might not happen, but it's just a prop for him. It is not something that he's going to be defending on any regularity. So there's that. To the Crown Jewel title, and maybe in comparison to like the Owen or what you said, they are similar in the sense of if this is going to be a one annual thing each year at this point in the calendar where we do this Crown Jewel title, yes, that is similar. Again, let's see how they pull off the execution of it. But on paper, the difference I would say for it and WWE's programming versus the too many titles we get on the AEW programming is with AEW, in addition to their, you know, TNT title, which is like their mid-card title, their IC or their US, then they have their AEW World. They have two women's world titles. That's fine. They have a tag title. Then they have a trios title. Then your ROH champion, it gets blended in for reasons on AEW. Then your ROH trios champions get blended. So AEW actually has two brands of titles that they decide to intermingle with confusing invisible bounds. So that's the difference, is WWE has not got that high on the tick on the belt count yet. Right. If they start adding more, then I let me see. And also, again, no disrespect to the Owen Hart Cup or that prestige, it's a tournament with a lot of bodies in it on the men's and women's side, and unfortunately, there's been two winners. The winners of them in their respective years really haven't done I don't feel like it's propelled them or elevated their booking or done anything that way. This is something where it is your top two champions, against each other. So that does have a little bit more prestige to it versus, oh, we're just going to do a tournament of 16 people, men, 16 women. And, so we'll see. But that's the difference I see on the two side by side.
Plus, you left out a few titles, but
did I really? Did I actually? I probably did.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just figured I'd bring that up because I thought, as I'm watching this, Jimmy, thoughts on, before we go over to Jimmy, thoughts on the match, though. That's the real thing. I just thought it'd be fun to throw a zinger at you for aid, because that's something I saw. I was like, it'd be fun to throw out there.
The match of Gunther and Sammy was as I thought it would be, really good. They didn't, I think it's a match where, let's be honest, I like the attempt of, hey, they showed the poster that was released for Crown Jewel, but they even did the little Photoshop deal. Mm-hmm. Joe Tessitore says, look, this is what it could look like tomorrow morning. So they did acknowledge, like, hey, these things, there's cards up to change, to trying to keep any bit of believability that Sammy has some chance. Even though most of the audience probably not thinking that there's going to be Gunther getting dethroned 62 days after he got crowned champion, and oh, by the way, he's going to get dethroned on Raw. Not to say that Raw's not a big deal these days, because it is, but you just kind of like, eh. But I will say, if you go back and watch that final 2-3 minutes of the match, the live crowd there in St. Louis, they had them hook, line, sinker. The live crowd was there for it, to cheer their hearts on for Sammy, with the small iota chance that Sammy's going to pull it out. So that's all you can ask for, is entertain the fans, give them a show, and they did just that. Another good win for Gunther, as it should be.
I'll say, you can tell how good of a match this was by the end when Gunther won and the crowd was devastated. Yeah. Like, you could you could tell they were just devastated that Sammy didn't win. And I think the little thing with Goldberg at Bad Blood actually helped this match, because with the announcement that it'd be champion versus champion at Saudi Arabia, I think, at least for me, I was thinking, you know what? They might have Sammy win the championship, so he faces Cody, and then Goldberg Gunther is not for the title anymore or whatever, and they could do that situation. So while if I was in Vegas, I'd have put my money on Gunther. There was, like, you know what? There's a booking route with Sammy winning tonight as well, Jimmy. What were your thoughts on this one? I loved it. This was great.
No, I enjoyed it very much. I think Sammy is one of the best, if not the best, out there right now from fighting from underneath. And, he is just a classic masterclass at showing people how to do that, showing others how it should be done. And Gunther, I'm a Gunther guy right now. He is doing everything right in and out of the ring. He is just, he's the real deal, bottom line. And as far as like you said, the ending, the crescendos coming to those false finishes, people were biting. And that's when you know you've got them. And like you said, Justin, sometimes people think they know. They said, oh, I don't see Sammy winning this one. But when every false finish, as it escalated throughout the match, going to the finish, that angst, that, oh, grew even louder with each false finish. That's when you know you have them. That's when you know you've got the people. And then, like you said, the air was let out of their sails when he passed out to the rear naked choke, or whatever you call it, and the people just went, oh, God, but I thought he had it, because there was that one breath of life that he showed while he was in the hold. Again, people said, oh, no, here he comes. He's going to fight back some more. Oh, there it was. I love that. I love that storytelling in a match. That's and stuff that makes perfect sense. I love the other little thing during the match. Again, here I go with the little stickler for the rules thing. When they were outside the ring and Sammy hit him with the huluva kick on the outside, and he's trying to struggle to get him back in the ring, and he can't. And the referee's counting, and he gets the 9. Sammy rolls in and rolls back out, resets the count. How, it's not rocket surgery, but it makes perfect sense, and it added so much to the match. Just those little things. It's all you have to do. You don't have to, go out there and fight for 5 minutes and have the referee distracted over there with the fallen cameraman or some audience members who got hit by a barricade with 20 guys looking after him.
Yeah, no, I agree. And again, going back to the end of the match with the gasp, it's so telling how you can hear the difference between my guy didn't win or who I wanted to win didn't win or in that versus, oh, you guys, you know, screwed the fans again, or you did something that we all hate. You know, there's a different feeling when, oh, someone ran in and cost him the match. This is so frustrating versus, oh, this was really good. Unfortunately, my guy didn't win. It was really kind of cool to see and hear. I want to mention something that Adonde said in the chat. Says the 5-match PLE, you can tell, helps Triple H make the weekly show main events be much better. Last thing on this, Justin, speaking about AEW earlier, this is something I always think when I think of when I see their 15-match shows is, man, you've got weeks of main events here. You're throwing away for one show. I think Adonde is exactly right. This is something they could have put on Bad Blood, and then we would have had no main event tonight. But because it's only five matches, crazy episode. There, three matches on this show could have been on a PLE.
Yeah, you got Gunther's world title match tonight. You got Jey Uso's first IC title defense. You got a crazy-ass triple threat tag team ladder match on SmackDown that, of course, would have been PLE worthy, and that was just a banger. You got a fun, gimmicky dumpster match that had a build to it between Misha and Chelsea. Like, you know, we haven't even – the Wyatt Six have yet to have a match on a PLE. They've saved anything to advertise for them for Monday Night Raw. It's and Adonde is exactly right. It's, you know, to your point of AEW, you know, the number one critique that's said about AEW is, oh, they don't have stories. That's not true. They do stories. They do it differently. I think the more accurate critique of where I think they're at fault with how they do things is they blow through programming way too quick.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They blow through stories where they could, it's like, bruv, you could have had 10 chapters in this book, but you opted for three.
Yeah.
Because you, I don't know if it's because the booker, the man in charge, is so excited just to get the thing out in the ring and doesn't like take a breath. We could build more anticipation to this, or if it's because there's so many other guys and girls knocking on his door saying, hey, I want a match. Where's my match time? Hey, I'm sitting around here not doing anything. And he feels obligated that he needs to get them out there. So we're going to do a 15-match pay-per-view, and then we're going to blow through stuff on Dynamite. It's probably a combination of all of it, quite frankly. But that's, I think, the more fair critique of AEW is as it relates to Hold That All, is it's they do stories. They just tell them differently in their execution of how they do it, and they blow through things so quick. Mm-hmm. I mean, they blow through big money matches and big situations that with more quality control they could get a whole lot more out of. That's where I would go with that.
Yeah, the analogy I think of is, and this isn't an AEW show, we'll get back to Rob, but I always think of this saying it was something like, it's not the plants you pick, it's the seeds you sow. Because if you keep planting seeds, you'll always have plants. But if you just pick all the plants, eventually you'll run out. I feel like they're always in this, well, we need to pick the plants for plants today instead of trying to sow the seeds for tomorrow.
Future,
WWE is doing very well. Speaking of something that they did a very good job of tonight, we had CM Punk come out and he tells us he's hurting, he's banged up. He thanks his family, his fans, and his haters. And he alludes to being gone and for some time after this. Now, of course, Seth Rollins comes out after that. We'll talk about that in a second. But Jimmy, this was CM Punk, I think, saying he's going to be gone for a little bit. Drew McIntyre also probably going to be off for a little bit. He showed that he had 16 staples put in his head after getting I don't know if it was officially the toolbox. I think it was the toolbox.
It looked like it. I'm not going to speculate one way or another, but it looked like it was the toolbox.
Yeah, it looked like
the edge caught him.
Yeah. So we always say Hell in a Cell, a dangerous place to be, but CM Punk, I think this naturally gets him off TV for a little bit.
Absolutely. And what I loved most about this is 2 days after Hell in a Cell, he is still selling the cell match big time, and the toll it took on its body, and it just made perfect sense. It made me go, and it made the audience go, wow, these guys really, really put it all out there on the line. Really quickly though, a shout out to Drew, you know, hopefully he's good with the staples and stuff like that, but also I hope his back is okay. When he went for that claymore and he missed and he landed on those steel steps with his back, I mean, I cringe. There was another cringeworthy one. But as far as Punk goes tonight, he's making the statements he did, you know, thanking everybody, thanking his family, thanking the fans, thanking his haters too, because hate turns into cash. That was an interesting little line he threw out there. But it gives him a little break. It also set the seeds, like you said, with something that might happen later. And they actually planted a couple of seeds tonight for Punk. Yeah. And I think it's very interesting where they're going to go next.
Yeah. Justin, by the way, CM Punk, I feel like you owe me some money, 'cause I've been a big hater for a long time. No, Justin, your thoughts on this one? To me, if I'm trying to read the tea leaves, it feels a little bit like this is so we can get to the other side of Crown Jewel, because we don't plan on using Punk, but for that, but also, a big match like this, a rival like this, I feel like both guys need to be off TV for a while, because they can't just be like, oh, I guess I'm going to have a feud with Chad Gable now. Like, you know, you can't just transition to the next thing after this.
No. I mean, look, Hell in a Cell is the most violent and brutal match that WWE does. WWE doesn't do, you know, death matches or anything. Hell in a Cell is the most violent. So absolutely, you know, both men in reality deserve some time off, but also just from the storyline standpoint, yeah, they should not be seen wrestling or even need to be seen much. As, and I love the touch of Punk saying, it's painful for me to even walk down to that ring, so I'm just going to stay right here. Like, I thought that was a, that was a very good realistic point. He always goes into the ring usually and talks. But so for him to stand on the stage and everything he said was very interesting in terms of thanking the groups of people he did. This all kind of works out. You're right. I think, you know, you're not going to see him for Crown Jewel. So this is a natural, again, take a break. Obviously, we know Seth Rollins is something they want to revisit. That's something that got, cut into when Punk got injured legit at the start of the year. So you have Rollins, but of course, you know, Rollins in the immediate's got Bronson Reed. So just, yeah, a natural time to let Punk get some rest. And whether he comes back around Survivor Series, which is his 1 year anniversary since his return to the company, whether, again, you promote him for a big TV match at Saturday night's main event. He's obviously a draw. So to put him on NBC on that kind of a situation, that could be a big deal, especially if it's the right opponent. But yeah, this is exactly what it should have been. I love Punk selling the way he did. You don't have a match that's that bloody, I'm so glad when he came out on that stage before I knew for sure that he wasn't going to walk to the ring, as I'm watching him slow walk and he's bandaged up and bandaged up and the music's still playing. I was like, please, don't get down on the knee and do the it's clobbering time. You look too injured to be doing that. You're selling so well that would be inappropriate. I'm glad he didn't. It was great. It was absolutely great.
Yeah, really good stuff there. Seth Rollins, as we mentioned, he just brushes by CM Punk, shoulder bumps his way through Punk, gets to the ring and says he can't wait for Punk to come back so he can end his career permanently. Rollins then challenges Bronson Reed, who is not in the building tonight. Jimmy, again, we talk about planting seeds. This is stuff they've littered seeds for Rollins. Now he has all these things he can stay busy with, and it all feels natural. Bronson Reed coming off something hot. I'm sure down the road we'll get Punk versus Rollins. That's already going to be awesome. Just this in itself wasn't necessarily amazing, but more just a good example of WWE's planned for the future here.
Yeah, it shows that they have long-term ideas for their superstars, especially their top superstars, like a Seth Rollins. Obviously, next after the six tsunamis and he took his time off, you know, Bronson Reed is next on the plate. And that makes perfect sense. And also, he still has his issues with CM Punk. They know, according to, you know, reports, they do not like each other in real life. And like somebody's once said, you know, if you don't like each other in real life, let's make some money with it. You know, put that stuff aside and go out there and make some money. And that could be some big money. Those two could be magic. And it's a matter of how long do you wait before you pull that trigger? I mean, you talk about, you know, Survivor Series, you talk about Saturday Night's Main Event, maybe Royal Rumble. Can you wait till WrestleMania? Whatever it is, these guys are going to be something to behold, especially it might be on par. I don't know if it'll be on par with Drew and Punk, that feud, but it's going to be one to remember. That's for sure. I think
Drew and Punk for my dollar is feud of the year. And everyone else is very far behind. I don't know who can even catch that right now, but Justin, yeah, this Seth Rollins thing, again, I don't know if this promo was necessarily special, but just I look at Bronson Reed and how there was a time not long ago we were like, I don't know what Bronson Reed is doing in WWE, but now they've done just a few things with him, and it's like, oh wow, this, like, he might be one of the greats in WWE right now. Bronson Reed is at that level. It's just it's crazy how quickly WWE was able to turn that around and make him the guy he needs to be for this moment.
Yeah, no, I love to see it. I mean, and look, yeah, we already have advertised matches for next week's Raw, and you know, you got to imagine Bronson versus Rollins is going to be, it could be a main event of a Raw. It could be, again, part of Crown Jewel. I mean, yeah, they got so much to work with. But real quick, back to the Rollins Punk inevitable feud. You know, I agree. I think the Drew Punk feud has just been one of the best feuds WWE's done in a long, long time. That is going to be one thing I'm watching with a close eye is the nature of the Punk Rollins, because while Punk and Rollins appeared to be the first thing they were going to have Punk do, and then again he gets injured, legit, and then it ended up just kind of naturally moving into Drew because then Rollins also gets banged up. They're going to have to make sure the Rollins Punk feud is a little bit different. Like, it cannot be verbatim the same stuff of Rollins just hates Punk because he's a cancer, and back when Punk was here the first time, he didn't take the young guys under his wing, or any of the stuff that Drew kind of threw out, and then it drifted, of course, into personal with Punk's wife and Punk's dog and what have you. They're gonna have to find a way to, you know, for me, when I think about Punk and Rollins, I think about what I think was like a legit kind of war of words via podcasts and interviews when Punk was still back in AEW, and maybe even before he even resurfaced at AEW, which was like, they kind of had like this war of words of like who was legit the better wrestler and who like could carry a company better. That's actually what it kind of felt like. We'd have to dig up the quotes, but mm-hmm. That's so, like, I think, you know, maybe the feud can be around that. And you know, you don't have to say AEW, you don't need to say the other guys' names, but you can just refer to them as the other guys or that place that you decided to come back. You know, you knew you couldn't come back to WWE right away. You came back to that second rate comp, it's going to just have to be substance of a different matter. It cannot just be, I hate your guts, because that's what we just heard Drew and Punk do. So that's what I'll be watching for, is that there's such personal money, it feels like, with Punk in certain feuds because of the nature of how polarizing it is. But you got to differentiate. I got to be able to describe this to Jimmy and say, hey, Jimmy, here in three sentences is how Rollins is different than the Drew feud for Punk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm sure they'll be able to do it because they're two of the best. So I'm just looking forward to it. There's so much to look forward to from all this stuff. Even in the Intercontinental Championship situation, we had Xavier Woods versus Jey Uso. A lot of stuff happened here after an awesome super kick. Jey Uso hits the splash, gets the win. Post-match, Kofi and Jey hug it out, but Woods passes on it. Braun Breaker arrives, spears Jey Uso, spears Kofi Kingston, super spears Xavier Woods. Justin, I'm going to go back to you on this one. I think Jey Uso getting the win wasn't a surprise. I think Xavier Woods not shaking hands was not a surprise. Braun Breaker, though. Yeah. I'm very confused with what's going on here.
I am, too. It's kind of part of my notes, but they seem to have a plan, because then later they have Jackie Redmond try to follow up and ask Braun, and he completely no-sells or walks away. And then I think he's advertised for a match next week. He's advertised as him versus
Kofi.
Him versus Kofi. Yeah. So they obviously have some plan here. It's not a case of like they booked one thing last week and they just flipped a coin and are completely scratching and going a different direction. They seem to have some plan about why is Braun Breaker conflicted? Why is he showing these two different, you know, one week he's showing respect, the next week he's not. So, yeah, I don't know. So tune in next week, I suppose. But, yeah, a lot to unpack here with Jey getting his first title defense, the New Day seemingly again, you know, on their outs, a lot to work with.
I was really excited as this match got going because this show was just cooking along. I love it when shows just go fast like this one was. But this was where the commercials got me. I feel like we missed almost this entire match with commercial, like picture-in-picture and cut into commercials, and I don't know, maybe that's just the nature of them going to 2 hours for right now, but I kind of bummed out about that. Jimmy, your thoughts on this one, and do you think, now they do seem like they know where they're going, but do you think they possibly changed their mind after last week of what they wanted to do with Braun, or do you, I mean, I don't know, that's the one thing I could come back to is It really felt like they wanted one thing last week, and it feels like they're really trying to say never mind this week.
But I know a lot of people are thinking that, but I don't think it was. I think the plan was to do exactly what they did because they got the people hooked. Thinking, okay, here it comes. We're going to get a good guy, Bron Breakker. Here it comes. And then they took the rug out right out from under him. And everybody, yeah. And he got legit heat from the crowd. They booed. Because every week it's kind of been a little bit split, you know, where people mm-hmm. were, you know, the dogs were out. They were barking. There were no barking. There was no barking tonight. It was all boos. So mission accomplished if that was what the goal was. And as far as the match was, it was okay. It didn't really wow me or anything. I, again, pretty much expected the outcome. I liked the little intricacies afterwards with the no shaking of the hands by Xavier and Kofi. Like, what's up, dude? Come on, man. And all that sort of.
I did think it was funny when it wasn't necessarily like in the microphone, but you could hear it on camera when they were walking back and Xavier Woods was like all upset. He's like, why don't you go shake his hand again? It's just very funny. Like, that's how guys would talk to each other in real life, I think. Sheamus versus Pete Dunne. Speaking of just guys having a fight here, zip tied, Sheamus somehow still gets the win. I mean, they go off a stack of barrels. They hit each other with shillelaghs and cricket sticks, bats. What do you, I don't know what you call that here. This one was, I mean, Jimmy Donnybrook is the right word for this one. Yeah. This one didn't feel going into it like a PLE quality match, but they sure gave us what felt like it should have been one. These guys killed each other.
They pretty much did. And Sheamus has been giving us matches like that since his return, basically. Every match, you know, it's cliche now saying banger after banger after banger, but that's literally what he's been giving us. And Pete Dunne is just, yeah, he's really good. And I don't think he lost any steam out in this one, losing the match. I know people are going to say, well, they buried Pete Dunne. No, they did not. He looked good in the match. He's going to be just fine. It's just a matter of how they're going to present him coming out of this. You know, this was probably the blow off for them, for Butch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there I said it. What are you going to do? Anyway, but it was a fun
match.
I saw
what he's going to do, Jimmy. You got to watch out.
Yeah, yeah. When Ra's in town, I'll stay away. But no, I enjoyed it. It was a fun match. It delivered big time. The crowd was into it. And again, you talk about putting your bodies on the line. Both guys did it. And they were able to tell a story within the structure of the match being a Donnybrook.
Well, Justin, that is kind of my question. I look at this, and Sheamus did call Pete Dunne a bunch of names, or called him by an old name he doesn't want to be called anymore, had his hands zip-tied behind him, still managed to beat Pete Dunne. Do you agree with Jimmy? Was this a big win for Sheamus or a big loss for Pete Dunne?
Well, it's a win for Sheamus, but it's also still an elevating loss for Pete Dunne. I think, you know, if he was to the general audience, kind of like this secondhand lackey named Butch, or he was just a bruiserweight, or was a guy who he's on the NXT UK brand. I'm not real familiar. Whatever. I think his perception's been elevated. You know, he's now been moved up into a solid mid-card level class where, you know, he could challenge for an IC title or US title, and it would be, you know, he's been elevated. I mean, I will say he was not at all harmed. Pete Dunne, that is, not at all harmed. However, I would make a case for, especially if they went with that ending of he zip ties Sheamus and just, you know, delivers some final blows to Sheamus who can't protect himself with his hands. I could see an ending where that would be apropos to have Dunne get that victory. Of course, Sheamus is a Hall of Famer tomorrow, so an L for Sheamus is not going to hurt him. Maybe they feel the W is more important for Sheamus right now because of whatever they might have next for him. I don't know, but nobody's harmed by this. This was a good win for the vet, and again, an elevated loss for Pete Dunne.
I do think Sheamus is one of those guys that I agree could, I mean, Hall of Fame tomorrow. He's also someone who I think within a few weeks could be legitimately contending for the world title at any given time. So a win like Absolutely. This, I think, raises Absolutely. His value to a stock where now, if you said by Survivor Series, he's challenging for the world title, but yeah, 100% he could be there and I'd believe it. So I think the right guy won for sure. Pete Dunne is great, although I'm a big fan of him.
And it was another PLE quality match. You could have put this on PLE.
Yeah, absolutely. This was... they had some great matches. Like, as they were running down the card for the night in the beginning, I was like, geez, this is all tonight? We've only got two. I wish we had a third hour.
It's going to be. Oh, stop that. So, Jimmy might be able to correct me. I think they have to take four breaks in an hour. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the format is. They have to do four breaks in an hour, unless they get a special stipulation of, you know, first hour is commercial free or whatever.
Right.
So they didn't take any more breaks than they normally do, but it is because I did feel like they were trying to let everything connect because they did want to try to get a little bit more out there and fit it in. So hence what you mentioned earlier, Jack, you would get, you know, this person's out, you know, Punk's out there, then Seth comes out, and then Seth's interrupted by Jay, and then Jay goes into his match, and then like everything kind of had to connect because we don't have time to be wasting.
Right.
I know some. I saw someone on social media saying they felt rushed, saying they felt they watched way too many matches in picture in picture. I mean, sure, I could see a case for that. This was different. It's the first 2 hour Raw they've done in 12 years. Mind you, though, this is only for 3 months. When they get to Netflix, there may not be four 3 minute breaks in an hour type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously Triple H was very vague in his answer at the press conference of the day. I think he probably knows more than he's letting on. That's wrestling 101. But I don't think it's going to be like this. Whatever it is, I don't think it's going to be like this, meaning they will have more time to let things more continuously and linear play out, and they will work the breaks or ads or however it gets done. They will work it in a way that's more free-flowing. So this model of fitting what used to be 3 hours into 2 hours plus have eight commercial breaks, it's only going to be temporary.
It's like fitting three potatoes in a two-potato bag, I guess. But
potato bags, so.
But it's a very small bag you have. It only carries two potatoes.
Just get another bag. Get another bag and call a friend. Have them carry up you. Yeah, you sling one bag over your shoulder. I sling one over mine.
I have no doubt this format would be better, by the way. This is just my take here for today. And speaking of today, really big news. Mr. 412 is having a birthday. It says, hello, today is my birthday. With the super chat, Mr. 412, happy birthday to you. Thank you so much for coming through on your birthday.
I'm going to go out on a limb. The area code in Pittsburgh is 412, I'm going to say. And people in Pittsburgh are very prideful of their 412. I'm going to take a guess that he's a Pittsburgh guy. It's Mr. 412. It's my guess.
Mr. 412, you got to let us know. Detective LeBar
because otherwise, if it was 412, you'd say, okay, maybe his birthday is April 12th, but today's not April 12th. Today's October 7th, so that's not it. It's not 4:20. It's not 4:20. So I'm gonna say it's the area code of Pittsburgh, and he's Mr. 412, the Pittsburgh guy.
Happy birthday, Mr. 412. Mr. 412, let us know if you're a Pittsburgh native. Because I think Jack solved it. Is that RVD? But we got The Miz and R-Truth and Final Testament palling around backstage. Miz likes to think that he's making his own decisions, but Truth wants to be his friend. Miz schedules a match against Truth for next week. But we also get a little Wyatt 6 overlay. Jimmy, is this who they're targeting? Are they targeting Miz? Are they targeting Final Destination or Final Testament? Or are they targeting R-Truth?
That's the interesting question. Because of the numbers game, I can't see them targeting R-Truth, because who has R-Truth got with him? He got nobody. So there's a deal again where the baby faces are outnumbering the heels, which is kind of a weird dynamic. So I could see it being more along the Final Testament and Miz being the targets here in some form or fashion. I don't know if Miz is actually going to officially align with Karrion Kross and AOP, but at least it would make it even odds at 4-on-4.
Yeah, Justin, the Miz does seem to be listening to Final Testament, which I think they needed someone to listen to him at some point. Otherwise, they feel like it's not working. But I cannot see Miz joining Final Testament. He just does not fit in with that group. But what do you make of Wyatt 6? Do you think the Final Testament group versus Wyatt 6 is something that sounds nice to you?
Well, I think that is what's on tap. They are seen to be determined to, you know, the Wyatt 6 take a little break from their conclusion of their feud with Gable and company, and they seem to want to keep the Wyatt 6 as faces, but I'll just say they want to keep the White Six as a group that's going to go that their opponents are heels. And, you know, White Six aren't exactly baby faces. They're not, you know, acting as baby faces, but they're going to have heel opponents, which I agree with because, it, again, it's still a fresh Bray Wyatt kind of tribute and legacy. So who wants to boo that? That said, you have to then be careful what heel opponents you have for them. Gable and company was kind of perfect because it was a group that was gave us some credibility, but like the fans were fine seeing make a fool of himself and getting his comeuppance. Final Testament, I guess, is another heel group. Again, you have no chance of splitting the crowd. Nobody likes to cheer Final Testament, so you're not going to run the risk of the crowd not following along. That said, poor Final Testament just does not have a lot going for them. And I don't see them squashing or beating the Wyatt Six, you know, I mean, but Final Testament does work. Numbers wise, it'll work out. Final Testament has Scarlett, so they have a female in there, which can then be opposite to the Nikki Cross character. Same with Alpha, or same with Made in America, or whatever the hell they're called. They had Ivy Nile, so it kind of works out there for the mixed tag purposes. So yeah, Final Testament will be next to the Wyatt Six. not sure what else is going to be there.
Yeah, I feel like it makes the most sense, but it also doesn't feel very spicy to me. I'm not super looking forward to it yet, but we'll see. They might pull me in. Mr. 412 says, yes, I'm from Pittsburgh, but live in Tacoma, Washington. I'm a Tacoma native, Mr. 412. We may have been neighbors at one time, depending on how long ago you moved to Tacoma. But Parkland, Washington specifically is where I was born and raised.
I told you, people with 412, they're prideful with that 412 here. He probably still has a 412 phone number.
It's like an old phone, doesn't want to upgrade. He's like, nope, same one. The 412. I'm gonna remember that next time I'm dropping area code. No, but
you're probably right about him still having the 412 number on his phone because Chimmel still has a 203 number that I buzz him with all the time. So
I still have my original area code. I'm not gonna give it out to anybody, but I still have my original one.
I don't have my original code. I changed mine. So I wanted to get out of my Tacoma way and get into that LA lifestyle and move down. No.
Are you 3-1-0?
No, it's a bummer. I got like I got the new LA one, so now everyone's like, oh, you're a transplant. I'm like, well, yeah, I am. Everyone is. I'm from I live in LA. No one's from here. I didn't get 3-1-0. I got 4-2-4. So someday. Rhea Ripley says she's not done with Liv Morgan. Liv, though, is looking on to crown Jewel. Raquel declines answering whether or not she's a member of Judgment Day. Any hot takes on this one, Jimmy or Justin or Jimmy? I guess either one of you, I guess. No. Jimmy, go ahead. I said your name first.
No, just that this feud's going to continue. And I like the dynamic with Raquel because when she's standing beside Liv and Dom, she's towering.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're having someone as your heater, that's a perfect person to have. It's just hopefully that she doesn't back down and she's more China-esque, hopefully, if you get my drift.
Yeah, Justin, I love Raquel with this group. This all looks good to me. I feel like eventually Rhea has to win, but I feel like I'm kind of over Liv and Rhea. I feel like this one's overstayed its welcome. What do you think?
Yeah, like I said, I didn't love how they executed the match at Bad Blood, particularly the finish. It was just confusing. Like the ref says on camera, yeah, you can go take a minute off and go pinata Dom, but then the match ends in a DQ because Raquel shows up. And like if commentary would have sold it as the refs letting Rhea do this because this is how sleazy Dom is, even the referees can't stand him, maybe. But instead, the commentary and Graves and Cole are usually so top notch. But I don't know what made them say this. They decided to just bury the ref, to bury Dan Engler, the ref, and you know, calling him Nixon and the fact that he would, you know, be called on camera. It's like it was so confusing. Like here's one of your biggest payoffs that you have in the company of Rhea getting her hands on Dom, and we're distracted by that. You know, she beat him like a pinata. She did not get her title back. So I feel like it's not completely finished. But then Liv has Nia at Crown Jewel as part of the gimmick of champion versus champion. Liv doesn't have any matches that we know of between now and then, so it looks like it's going to be her going to there. So I don't know. I'm not really sure what's going on here. Again, I'm a huge Mommy fan, and I'm like seeing Raquel involved here. I'm a Raquel fan, but I'm not sure really what's going on here. I'm a little confused where they're at. I feel like we're at an intersection where and cars are crashing right now.
Yeah, I agree. We have a few other things happen on this show. Yeah,
throw this out there, not to harp on this too much, but I said this last night on our radio show up here in Canada. How terrible would it have been? And maybe I thought, in my mind, more entertaining that if Rhea asked Dan for that, can I have that minute out there? And he said, Rhea, I'd love to give it to you, but I can't. I'm going to have to give you that 10 count, and that's it. Rhea goes out. She starts pinataing Dominic. Referee gets a 7, 8. Rhea's keeping an eye on the count. She rolls in, rolls back out with the kendo stick, and goes back to waffling him again. I think the crowd would have loved something like that.
I agree, Jimmy. And just to kind of like just add on to that, to what we saw, I agree. Have her go out there. She takes it a 7 to 8 to 9, breaks the count, resets it, rolls back out. You're right. Hopefully a big pop to the, you know, continues to beat. And then when she thinks that she's beaten Dom enough and she's ready to get back in there and to beat the count a second time, mm-hmm. just as she goes to get to beat the count, have Raquel sideswipe her and live wins via count out or DQ or right. whatever you want to call right. it. But that would have had more. It was just, I don't know. Again, WWE these days, they're usually pretty precise and they've got things planned and they've rehearsed things. That almost felt like they called something on the fly. They called an audible because it just, it just didn't make sense. Right. And it was just unlike them.
Referee problems. So you're saying there's even more that they're stealing from. Never mind. I'm just even more than they're stealing from the other guys. No, but we have a few things that happened just to round out the show. Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill say they will give Damage Control shot at the tag team titles. Lyra Valkyria gets the win for her team over Pure Fusion Collective and the Unholy Union. And Ethan Page, former NXT champ, wants to complain about CM Punk's job officiating his match. Jimmy, your thoughts on all these segments, and particularly Ethan Page. I don't know how much NXT you watch, but did you this guy, former NXT champion, did he look like he belonged on Raw?
He looked like he blended right in. He looked like he was one of the regular roster members. You know, if you didn't know better, you would have swore that he was somebody who may have been drafted up if you didn't know. But Ethan Page is he main roster ready? I think he is. Mm-hmm. And maybe this was just a test to see how well he was recognized by the crowd. He did get a reaction when he walked into the shot. So yeah. I think it's interesting. And also talking about Punk, will this be something that takes place on NXT at some point in the future? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they're thinking about bringing him up early. Who knows?
I
did enjoy the segment. I did enjoy the segment very much.
I think that he looked he absolutely looked like he belonged there. Sometimes, Justin, and you've seen over the years, someone who's a big star in NXT shows up, and when they stand next to someone on the main roster, they suddenly don't seem like the star they used to look like on NXT. I personally felt like Ethan Page looked like a star. He looked like he could be a player on the main roster, just visually and the way he carried himself in that promo. Your thoughts on that, and as well as the 10-person tag team match and the Damage Control getting a title shot.
Yeah, Ethan Page certainly passed the eye test. I don't think there's much more to it other than they were in St. Louis for Raw tonight. They're in St. Louis tomorrow for NXT. And so it's just he's in town. It's just a kind of a cheap little plug to NXT. I don't think it's any sign of him getting ready to be called up or anything like that. I mean, he could be, but it's just, again, as we're talking about right now, they just lost an hour of Raw. They got a lot of talent right now on Raw and SmackDown. So I don't, you know, and obviously they want NXT to be healthy because now they got it on the CW and now they're traveling again. So, gone are the days, thank God, where it was, two different, Vince running Raw and SmackDown, Triple H running NXT. Vince could pull a talent at any time for whatever reason, even if he didn't have a plan for them. Now with Triple H and obviously his good buddy Shawn working, they're gonna work more cooperative and collaboratively together. And again, you don't want to deplete NXT because you need to sell tickets. So Yeah, I looked. It was a nice cameo, but nothing more than that for Ethan Page right now. Lyra getting the pin, good for her. Certainly a catch-all. Again, another example of 1 hour shorter, so we're going to do a 10-woman tag here, I think, just to kind of combine a few different stories. And
speaking of things that got stolen from the
Bianca and Jade, I mean, again, let's close the book on them versus Damage Control. We've been around this a time or two, so again, advertised match for next week, great, but I think we're kind of at the end of the rope with this.
Yeah, I agree across the board there. This was a fun show. 2 hours, I am down for it. When it goes to Netflix, I really hope they keep it 2 hours. I mean, I'm sure they'll probably go over a little bit here and there, but I hope they try to stick to it. I loved this. Everyone in the chat, let me know your overall thoughts of the show. But as we finish up here, let's go around the horn. Jimmy Corderas, final thoughts on the show, and where can the world find you online?
I thought it was a fine episode of Raw. I liked it at 2 hours. I liked that it breezed by. It felt like it breezed by anyways, and I'm cool with that. The matches were all fairly entertaining, so, you know, that's a win for me. And as far as where you can find me, here on Monday nights after Raw, Wednesday nights after Dynamite, the Reffing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and I, and RJ, who holds the glue together. Got to give a shout-out to RJ. This week, we'll be talking to Ricardo Rodriguez.
And, that'd be a good one.
Yeah. And, of course, here in Canada on TSN Radio and iHeartRadio, Huge Pop Radio with my buddy Donnie Da Silva. This week we had a nice little chat with Blue Meanie. So that was a fun little chat, getting to catch up with him again. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, my ref and rants on all my social media platforms from Monday to Friday. Just little screws I think need tightening every once in a while. And lately it's been a lot about the referees, but I want to stop doing that. Please, guys, help me out.
I love Blue Meanie's dance. Has to be an all-timer for wrestler dance. It's so good.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Justin, what are your final thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
Yeah, a solid Raw, you know. And look, it was an hour less of content, and I don't feel shortchanged. I don't feel like I didn't get the same volume of entertainment and volume of stories. That speaks to the term embarrassment of riches that they got going on right now. So solid Raw, lot to look forward to with Crown Jewel to an extent. Survivor Series, of course, that I feel like Survivor Series is really going to take some development on SmackDown as it relates to the Bloodline. Of course, Saturday Night's main event for all of us old school nostalgia fans, and then the Netflix turn. There's just so much to look forward to these next 3 months. Follow me at Justin LaVar across the socials. Of course, I'm here every Monday night, Triple J. Usually Thursday or Friday morning, Spar with LaVar with myself on Busted Open. This past week, it was on Friday with myself, Dave LaGreca, Nick Namath, and Thunder Rosa. But every Sunday, I'm at the helm, at the wheel, all 3 hours, myself and Jonathan Hood, co-hosting every single Busted Open every single Sunday morning, which is great, especially with these Saturday pay-per-views for WWE and AEW. A lot to react to that morning. We're live 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time. Can take your calls. It's a lot of fun. So there's no way to avoid me. Yeah, let's just put that way.
Lots of good stuff there. Lots of good stuff on Busted Open Radio and everything you're doing, Justin. I love this show. I love 2 hours. Like I said, what's crazy is as we're wrapping up, I'm realizing there was no American Made. There was no Judgment Day. I think this has got to be the first No Judgment Day Raw in a very long time. No Damian Priest, a lot of folks who weren't even on tonight.
You're right about that, Jack. Other than what's her face referring to Liv and Dom.
I guess they were. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but you're right. There was no Finn. No, there was no Priest. Even though he's feuding with them, there's no. But they're in St. Louis tonight. They're in St. Louis tomorrow for NXT. Did they tape another Raw tonight? Did I see that incorrectly or correctly that they're taping? Because if they are, that would explain why the amount of acts we didn't see.
Oh,
if they were preserving some for a taping that's going to air next Monday, is that true?
I don't know. That might be true.
I know they're going to do it the week before Saudi, if I'm not mistaken. Or is that SmackDown? I'm not sure. I think it's
That would be SmackDown because the Crown Jewel is on a Saturday, right. So of course on Friday they're SmackDown. Already gonna,
okay.
So they'll already have been at Saudi, but I could have swore I saw something that they were taping stuff tonight in addition to live Raw.
Well, to that point, even if they are, I mean, talk about how much talent they have. Because finishing the show, I did not feel like we were losing talent. I didn't feel like they were we were missing people until we just covered the whole show. But I really love this show. I love the 2 hours. I felt excited the whole time. It was fast. It was energetic. Super pumped about it. I'm really glad they made this change. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. And you can check me and Jimmy out on the After AEW Dynamite show tomorrow. It is a special episode that is happening on Tuesday. So make sure to check us out tomorrow. And as programming note, I don't know if I'm actually supposed to announce this, but whatever, I will. There is not going to be an NXT after show. And for the time being, it seems we will not be covering NXT on a weekly basis anymore due to some issues with getting the live stream out to all the hosts with the East Coast feed versus West Coast feed and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. So you won't be seeing NXT coverage in the immediate future. Oh, yeah, Justin?
No, I just finished your plug. I was going to say they are going on a UK tour. They did film more tonight for next week's Raw.
There we go.
Perfect. So yeah, I'm sure we're going to see all the spoilers and then cover it next week anyways. But so if you're a fan of NXT, unfortunately, we will not be covering NXT here on Wrestling Inc., at least for the time being. But we will be covering AEW and Raw and SmackDown like usual, PLEs and all that good stuff. So make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. for all the latest wrestling news. Make sure to tune in tomorrow for AEW Dynamite's after show. We will see you there. Until then, hit your own end stream button, folks. Boop.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.